something for the weekend. Good morning, it's Trina Mara. We've got a very different interview coming up now because on Instagram, about a week ago, I saw a story that was posted by and actually reshared by Suzanne Jackson Sosumi. And when I opened it, I was assuming, first of all, that it was going to be like, you know, a beauty promotion or something about makeup or something. And it wasn't. It was yourself, Maeve Slattery. Morning, Maeve. Thanks for coming on the show.
No problem, Trina. Thank you for having me.
So tell us all about the video that you made and how it's now being shared, and it's really getting people talking about their own life as well.
Trina, thank you first of all for having me on so I can spread the message about mental health awareness. I took that video in my room on the last day, on my last day in St. Pat's, and it was totally off the cuff. I was actually meant to send it on to my friend, Connor Stone, who has an Instagram page called A Mental Health Journey. And he had been asking me for months and months to write a little snippet about my story. And I just said, I felt I could articulate myself better if I just recorded a video. So I sent it on to Connor, and he didn't put it up on his page yet. But I was sitting with two other girls who were on my ward, and they said, Maeve, why don't you just post it on your own Instagram, make your page public? And they were saying, I guarantee you that it'll reach people, it'll strike a chord with people. And I went to bed on the Thursday night. I think 8,000 people had seen it. I was blown away. And I woke up and about 65,000 people had viewed it. And my Instagram private messages there, I was inundated with people of all ages from all over the world, not just Ireland, telling me about a brother or a sister or a problem that they had themselves. And I said, right, I did make the right decision in posting that, because it just seemed to, as I said, strike a chord with so many people. I just think it has affected so many families. It's in every family in Ireland. Even if you don't think that it is there, people mightn't be talking about it. I really believe it has affected everybody in some way, shape or form.
It's funny, Maeve, because the way, you know, the way they say, oh, everyone's now talking about mental health. But I wonder, really, are they? Because there are a lot of people who are still kind of ashamed about speaking about it, and they don't want people knowing their business, or they certainly don't want somebody knowing that they've gone into St. Pat's, for example. So tell us about how you came to go into St. Pat's. What was the lead up to that?
I was ashamed going into St. Pat's up until probably the very final hurdle of the last 2 weeks, because I hadn't accepted it myself. I think a lot of it is acceptance within yourself. Like, if you don't accept this, then you're ashamed of other people knowing, if that makes sense. Mm. But the lead up was, I had gone to my GP and I had just been suffering. I was on medication, and that alone wasn't helping. I knew I needed further help. And I just said, right, you know, I'd heard about St. Pat's, I'd heard about St. John of God's, two amazing hospitals that had helped people in the past. I had a friend that had been in St. Pat's, and she said, listen, I really think you're making the right decision. So the lead up was that, unfortunately, I was in crisis and I was really rock bottom. And I went to my GP and he said, I'm referring you today. I was waiting a little while, 2 weeks for a bed. But in the meantime, I was getting help from my doctor until I went in. So that's really what happened. And then I was kind of thought I'd only be in there for a couple of weeks and I'd be out again. But it is a process. You know, it's not linear. Your recovery is not linear. You have to settle into the hospital routine, get to know the nurses, get your medication right, and then eventually get your therapy right. So that was really the lead up of me going in. I was in crisis, and thank you to my GP. He just kept me going until I got in there.
The crisis. Talk to me about that. You talk about this in the video. You had a plan in your head what you were going to do, didn't you? And was there anything that kind of sparked that?
I just had been feeling so low for a number of weeks. And I remember just saying to a friend of mine, you know, I don't want to die, but I just don't want to live like this. I said, I'm 24. I have an amazing family. I have wonderful friends. I'm having a great experience in college. Have a good job. I just can't understand why it's been this bad. And yeah, I was, as I said in the video, I had a concrete decision in my head that if I don't go to hospital, then that's it. But now, oh my God, now I know that there's plan B, C, D, E, F, G. There's a number of different routes you can take. It's not just going to be so black and white, you know. And I would urge people to ask for help. The charities like PAVSA, if you are in crisis and you are feeling that way, PAVSA, Samaritans, Jigsaw, there are a number of different charities that can help you, and I will talk to you over the phone. Pieta helped me last year over the phone when I was in crisis, and they kept me on the phone for about, until I got better, they kept me on the phone for about 2 weeks, and they were phenomenal. I was with a psychotherapist called Louisa, and my God, did they help me. So I just urge anybody that's feeling that low, just reach out. There will be some form of help there for you.
What were you going to do, Maeve? What was the plan?
Well, I wanted to take my own life. I loved swimming so much that I said if I was going to do it, then I was going to do it in the water. That's where I love swimming. I've swam for my whole life, and that's kind of what I wanted to do it. But I don't know, I think something kind of snapped in me, and I just didn't go through with this, but I was so close to it.
You described about you were going to cycle to Clontarf, and you were going to put the passport attached to your bike so that if you went ahead with it, and you were planning on going ahead with it, that people would know that's where what you'd done.
I did cycle to Clontarf, and I did put my passport back on my bike. I was greeted then by two girls in a Golf, and they flashed their headlights at me, and they talked to me that night. So I don't know who they are. I can't even really remember. I think I was in such a state of shock that even up until the number of days after that, I know it sounds mad, but I can't really remember what they looked like. I just remember that they were two girls.
Oh my God. They came along just in the nick of time and stopped you.
They were actually parked, and then I think they saw me, yeah. So I'm actually not 100% sure. It's a bit blurry.
What happened then? You went home. Did you tell anybody what you were about to do, or did you keep that to yourself?
Kept that to myself right up until I posted the video.
Wow. Wow. So you've come out the other end. You've done your time now in St. Pat's. How long were you there in total?
I was there just under 2 months. I was there for about 7 weeks.
Yeah. And your video is amazing because you seem so upbeat and so bubbly in it, and you really and truly believe that it has worked. It has absolutely worked for you, and you've come out the other side.
Yeah. I have to trust the process. You know, it takes a leap of faith to trust somebody else and a team of people, to doctors, nurses, to help you. And it takes a leap of faith. But I would just tell anybody, you know, trust the process and trust the healthcare professionals, the psychiatrists, the consultant psychiatrists, trust the nurses, trust the doctors. They're not trying to make you sicker. Like, I went in with my hands open saying, I'm willing to do anything. Just tell me what I have to do. They saved my life, if I'm honest with you. Like, I just did everything that they told me to do. A massive part of recovery is, for me anyway, was routine. Getting up early, having a good breakfast, having a good lunch, having a good dinner, unwinding a little bit earlier than I usually would at home, going to bed, sleep hygiene, exercise. I know they sound like they're just the basics, but they really are so important for everybody, but especially people that suffer with mental health. You need to set some sort of routine for yourself.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you know, sleep is, I can't emphasize enough, sleep is so important. And when I was suffering before I went into hospital, I was getting hopefully 2 or 3 hours sleep a night, and I'd be up and then falling back asleep and up and falling back asleep. And when I went into hospital, you have to learn new skill sets, and, you know, sleep and plenty of water and all that. Like, yeah. I'm not saying it's the be all and end all, but a good routine, they set the foundation for yourself.
Yeah. But you hear about people who are, you know, they're staying up all night, sleeping half the day. Like, that can't be good for you. You need to be able to have a normal routine, get up, have your shower, do all those things, go for a 20-minute walk, whatever. Even if you feel you don't have time to go for a walk, just to make the time, isn't it?
It is to make the time, but I also am acutely aware of people that are really feeling low. It is so hard to get out of bed. It is hard to get into the shower. It is hard to go for a walk. it's hard to meet people because you have no desire. And I really do feel, because I have been there before where I just wouldn't get out of my bed, I wouldn't go for a shower. It's the basics, but because when you're that low, you just, that's not on your radar. Mm. And so I am acutely aware of people that find it so difficult. Like for some people, Trina, getting up and just getting dressed and facing their day is huge. Mm. So that's an accomplishment in itself. Like,
well, Maeve, we're delighted that you've come through, and it was an unusual video for me to see. I wasn't expecting it to be that content, but just so good to see, because you hear the tragedy, don't you? And it's good to hear somebody who's gone through the treatment, they've come out the other side, and you must be so thankful now that you didn't make that decision in the end, and your friends and family, everybody must be saying, thank God you didn't.
I'm grateful and I'm happy that I do have a life and I have amazing support around me, my family, my friends. Coming back out of Pax, I live beside the sea and just, you know, I have the last time I was looking at the sea, I had a negative thought process, and now just the luxury of going for a walk and being, you know, really at peace with myself is, it's just, it's crazy to think that, you know, things could have gone the other way, and I just urge anyone, just hold on and just hope that things will get better, and I promise that the resources are there, just seek it out. One of the last things I'll say is, when I was in hospital, nearly every other patient that I met was there for me, would listen to me, would help me, but to themselves they were horrible. And it's just, you know, it's about starting to be kinder to yourself. Mm-hmm. Would you treat somebody else the way you treat yourself? Probably not. Be kind to yourself.
Thank you so much for sharing your story. I know our listeners will get a lot out of that interview today. I'm thrilled that you're still with us.
Thank you, Trina.
Thanks, Maeve. Talk to you soon. This is Something for the Weekend. It's Ireland's Classic Hits.